bracket gets busted first has to buy the other person a pair of shoes. Are you in?
Oh, I'll do it, but I'll do it, but I want the world to know. Molly cheats. I'm in.
Okay. Let's go. Let's get it.
I'm in my word. I'm in. I'm gonna beat you.
We're doing it. We're absolutely doing it.
76-59. Every dog has his day, and this day belongs to the Huskies. UConn, men's basketball national champions.
Are you giving me the field against UConn? Yes or no?
Yeah. What do you want to put on it?
Make it loud on yourself. Whatever you want to bet. What you want to bet?
You want a designer backpack? I'll go designer purse. Just come here to clean up, folks. That's all. You know, Shannon Sharp, the only thing I bet on is myself and UConn. Today is my day, America. Back to back. And we're going to have a good... Excuse me, Stephen A., where's basketball capital of the world? Can you just remind everyone? Stores? Not
Springfield,
not R-E-S, R-R-S. Stores, Connecticut. Danny Hurley and the boys showed up. It's time for First Take. Holler at your girl! Just one of them days, folks. Just one of them days. Karma, when the good guy wins, it is what it is. It's just fitting that I would go to a school of champions. I mean, the most, it's just, it was destiny, right? Like the most historic program. It just makes sense, right?
Yes. You weren't feeling that way Saturday morning, but I hear you. I hate you.
Really? Because we got robbed by Paige Beckers. Don't get me into that bogus call as well.
That should not stop.
Oh, you. No. Let's stay focused on what it is.
All right.
Shannon, Coach, how's everybody feeling this morning?
We all right. Go ahead,
yeah,
Shannon, man.
Any better? You know, I couldn't stand it. Hey, Molly, you tired of smacking these guys around and taking their money?
It's unbelievable.
You got a purse. You got shoes. It's unbelievable.
Shannon, Stephen, how do you feel about losing the bet?
I don't feel good. I almost texted Stephen A. last night and said I was a little under the weather, although it's 75 degrees in California.
Okay. Let me give you some brands. Before we start, let me give you some brands that'll work, right? We said no Birkin, obviously. That's out of budget. LV's good. Gucci, Prada, Givenchy, YSL. You could pick them up at Saks, your local Saks, your local Neiman Marcus. So if you need some help.
I was thinking more along the lines of Kate Spade, Coach,
no,
Tory
no.
Burch.
Sorry. No, sorry. I'm a winner champion. We're a little step up.
All right.
And with all your shows, Hall of Famer, it's peanuts to you. All right, guys, let's have some fun, though, in all seriousness. UConn concludes a dominant run, winning their second straight NCAA championship. The Huskies defeated Purdue 75-60, becoming the first team to go back-to-back since Florida in 2006 and 2007. UConn's average scoring margin in their six NCAA tourney wins was 23.3 points. UConn not only covered the spread in all 12 of its tournament games the last two seasons, it also won every game by at least 10 points. 12 straight wins by double digits is the longest streak in NCAA tournament history. Here's Dan Hurley on UConn's dominance.
I just think it's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much and again to do what we did again, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
Yeah, to that point, I mean, UConn lost five guys, just returned two of their starters. And remember, in that Florida team, I think it was like 06, 07. Coach, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't check with research. They brought back, pretty much their whole team. Okay, so let's just get this party started. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
How you feeling today?
I'm good.
Good? You have
I'm
a good breakfast?
I did pick UConn to win the national title.
Oh, you did? After you lost the bet last year,
This year I picked them to win. Well, I didn't
you
like
wanted to,
college
You wanted
basketball.
To join the good
but
guys.
It's all right.
Yeah,
well, go ahead.
Well, welcome to the party. So welcome. There's room on the bandwagon. What did UConn prove winning back-to-back titles?
I'll tell you what UConn proved winning back-to-back titles. They're the Michael Jordans of college basketball.
Wow.
That's right. Shannon, take notes.
Wow.
Take notes, Shannon.
Let's make that headline go viral. I like that one.
They're the Michael Jordans of college basketball. Why? because in their six national titles, 1999, 2004, 2011, 2014, and obviously back-to-back this year, they're 6-0 in national championship games. That would make them the Michael Jordans of college basketball.
I love that line.
Remember, I said that. Danny Hurley, sensational job coaching this team. You look at the balance scoring that they received. Newton was the most outstanding player. Tristan Newton, he balled out. But they got that balance scoring attack. Him, Castle, obviously Cam Spencer, and Klingon, even with his 11 points and 5 rebounds, I'm not going to say he did a bad job. I'm not getting caught up in Zach Edey's 37. He was absolutely sensational earlier on. But then all of a sudden, when it was a 23-21 lead by Purdue, all of a sudden, things went, you know, very, very quiet for Purdue. And they didn't have much of an answer. And it wasn't like Zach was being double-teamed for most of the game or whatever. Sometime they would blitz him on a couple of occasions, but for the most part, they weren't doing that. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint, and a lot of those numbers in terms of the 37 overall. I'm not taking anything away from what we saw from him early, Coach Shannon, nothing early. But as the game waned, he was not, you know, they held him in check. And so I'm looking at the coaching. I'm looking at the balance scoring attack. I'm looking at the perimeter shooting. I'm looking at UConn's ability to get out and deny Purdue the ability to shoot three-point shots. And it comes down to, you know what? They do what's necessary in order to get the job done. UConn is not a one-dimensional monster. They can beat you in a myriad of ways, and they certainly did it in one game last night. And that's why they're the deserving reigning two-time defending national champions this morning.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stephen. It's hard to deny anything that Coach Dan Hurley said about how impressive this was, and it was more impressive than what Duke did and what Florida. And I hate to, you know, parse anything and try to take it back to that. But when you look at that, those three guards, they're relentless. The pressure that they apply, Spencer, Newton, and Castle, they're relentless at ball pressure. They do a great job of distributing the basketball on the backdoor cuts. They do a great job of shooting the ball from the perimeter. And they made it tough. And Zach Edey was going to need to have a 60-30 game and shoot about 80% for them to have a chance. He scored basically 62% of their points. I don't really know. It was a situation like a Caitlin Clark. It was like he either did it or it didn't get done. And so that's why they didn't win the game. They were overmatched. UConn, the better team, top to bottom. He did what he could. But like you said, Stephen, it was just too much UConn last night. They're better than advertised. Kind of like with South Carolina. You graduate your started, you come back with a new team, and you still, South Carolina goes 38-0, win the national championship. For them to come back in today's game and to bring, have a new, basically a new lineup and to do what they did in the fashion, it's not the fact that, man, they had a nail biter, man, they had a call that go their way, or this thing could have been over. Stephen A, it was never close.
No close.
I mean, you win every game by double digits? I mean, you got to go back. I can't remember that in my lifetime, where I can remember national championship Final Fours and March Madness, and I go back to before it was 64 teams. I'd never seen somebody be this dominant. Not this dominant. Even when UNLV, Stephen A. won it the first year in 90, they had a close game. I think they only beat Ball State, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, by like 4. Now, they blew everybody else out, even that demolition job they did on Duke in the national championship game. But they had one game that was one or two possessions. They didn't have this at UConn. Coach Dan Hurley said, look, I'm staying, but you can name your price at Kentucky if you wanted it.
Look, they're the bluest of blood. 6 national championships over a 25-year period. The way they've dominated college basketball the last 2 years of the NCAA tournament, think about this. In the last 2 years, they've finished every single game in the NCAA tournament with their walk-ons on the court. I mean, wow. Andrew Hurley had the ball in his hands at the end of every single game.
I'd have shot it.
It's absolutely incredible. And Dan Hurley's got to get the credit. As teams got to get the credit, they have a collective responsibility. They took this Purdue team. All right, a Purdue team that assists on 65% of their field goals, forget about that. They only had one guy that had an assist in the game. Braden Smith had 8. The rest of the team, 0. A Purdue team that shoots 41% from the three-point line. They were 1-for-7. They couldn't even get a three-point shot. And you talk about what they did with Zach Edey. Zach Edey made tough, contested jump hooks early. He went over 10 minutes from the 5-minute mark of the first half until about the 14-minute mark of the second half without scoring. Dominant defensive game plan, collective responsibility offensively and defensively. Danny Hurley is the best coach in college basketball. They lost 5 of their top 8. They lost 3 guys to the NBA. And they came back and they dominated. Dominated the NCAA tournament. They were challenged 1 time against Alabama. And when they did, you know what happened? Alabama went on a run. They went on a 7-row run. They dominated college basketball.
Coach, I have a question for you in line with what you just broke down to the audience. Because John Calipari made news a couple of days ago, reportedly scheduled to depart from Kentucky to go to Arkansas. What's the difference between what Danny Hurley is doing and what John Calipari hasn't been able to do?
It's his model. Danny Hurley has come up with a model that works. Well, first of all, he's an elite coach. He was born to coach. The vision that he looks at the game at is so unique. I say they play defense like they're from Jersey City, and they play offense like they're from FIBA. I mean, that's just the way they play, but it's his model. What has Dan Hurley done? Player development, player retention, recruiting, and then going to the portal to find a fit. Think about this year's roster. Hassan Diawara comes off the bench.
Cam Spencer.
He was the first guy that got in the portal. Last year, they got Tristan Newton. Oh, he was the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament this year. And this year, they got Cam Spencer Hurley. Yes, I called him Cam Spencer Hurley because basically Cam Spencer is an extension of Danny Hurley. He brings toughness. He's a perfect fit. You collect talent, but you got to make a team. And what they had enough culture creators that returned. That's the retention part of it. They've recruited high-level players, Stephen Castle, absolutely dominating defensively throughout the tournament. And then they go to the portal and find the right fix. Cal has a little bit behind the curve in terms of his model. But he's got $5 million to work on it this year, next year at Arkansas.
Okay. Well, Shannon.
Stephen A., it's not his model. Coach adopted this. He wanted the one and dones. He felt that if he got the most 4- and 5-star recruits, it would give him a leg up on everyone else. Now, granted, maybe they were just coming to go to the NBA, and that was just a stop off. That was, that's what college is. College basketball is college football is a feeding system. The NBA used to have, you could go straight from high school to the NBA. Cal wanted this model. Coach K was so envious, he adopted the model. Dan Hurley says, you know what? I'm going to find guys. I'm going to go to the portal. I'm going to get me guys with some experience. And that's what more teams are starting to do is go into the portal. Hey, how many minutes can you give me? How much money you got for me? But I like this because he's saying that I believe that with seasoned guys, guys that are sophomore, guys that are junior, I can convince them to play together. I can convince them to be unselfish. It's not about, well, I was a 5-star. I got 25 shots in high school. I need to get 25 shots in college. So either Coach Calipari needs to change the model, go back to where it was, try to get – hey, I understand you want the best guys, but the best guys want to come and be one and done. And I agree with you, Coach. It's hard to get young guys to play together for an extended period of time when they've been used to being the man their entire life.
I'll tell you this. I love the coach, the point, Shannon, that Coach brought up. Purdue was attempting 23s a game. They were one of the nation's leader mm-hmm. in three-pointers made and three-point attempts. And last night could only get off 7 three-point shots.
Yeah.
And only one individual had an assist. Yeah. Those are incredible stats to bring to the forefront because it just shows that no matter what we want to point to about what we saw from Newton or Castle or anybody else, offensively, defense won this national championship. Yeah. Defense is what it was about last night.
They cut off the long range.
And the biggest one is Zach Edey. Yeah. I mean, listen, you can say what you want. He's 7'4". I know he's got a future. There were times when he was impressive, ended up averaging about 29-16 in this NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. But do I think it's a blemish to some degree that you went 10 minutes in a national championship game held scoreless? Yes. That, yeah. that, that, I mean, especially when you knew and everybody knew.
He played tough, though. They wore out. I want to give Purdue credit. Purdue played hard. They played tough. They just can't hang.
Well, first of all, I'm not giving any. Hold on. Let me be clear about this, Shannon. Nobody is getting credit for playing hard for a national championship.
Okay, well,
we're not doing that.
They had a nice run, Stephen A. They had a nice run.
I've never seen anybody not play hard with a championship.
Edie had a great run.
But I think Klingon
giving him that.
Klingon did a great job. Later, as the game progressed, pushing him further and further out. So it was a 1 foot shot, a 2 foot shot, a 3 foot shot.
Legs.
And the next thing you know, he was trying to throw the sky hook like Kareem from 10 to 12.
That's right. Yeah. Puts the legs out. You know, he puts legs.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yes.
And I just want to say huge shout to Newton and Spencer because they'll obviously be gone next season. We'll see with Castle if he's one and done. All right, much more on UConn a little bit later. When we come, we're going to the Warriors. We're going to the NBA. They beat the Jazz Sunday. They're currently 10th in the West and pushing for a playoff appearance, as are the Lakers, who sit one spot above them in the standings. Golden State faces the LA Lakers tonight. Here's Klay Thompson on Draymond Green's importance.
When you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. And me and Steph are really nice guys, like probably too nice, you know? And we can never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. So it does hurt, but at the end of the day, we've been through so many battles, reached the mountaintop, been down the mountain, had to climb back up, got there again. And now we have another real shot at this, and it's been like a couple tough years, but still, we're still fighting. We're still in the mix.
Tim Legler joined the party.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. You have a glow.
Do I have a glow? Are you impressed with their run?
Oh, my goodness, yes, absolutely. The discipline that they showed. I've never seen a team execute a game plan to take away three-point shooting the way they did last night, because typically you overreact to getting scored on in the paint.
Yeah.
They never did, and as a result, they completely shut that water off. It was so impressive.
Wow. All right, Stephen A., let me ask you this. We'll get back to the NBA. Obviously, you just heard Klay on Draymond. What's your reaction to what he had to say about him?
Well, it's very touching, and I don't say that facetiously. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I love Klay Thompson, always have. I thought that when they won the championship against Boston, regardless of the fact that he wasn't on his A game, he had come back from that two-year hiatus due to injuries. And so I've always been an incredible, incredible fan of Klay Thompson. I think that he's one of the top five shooters in the history of basketball. Some would argue about that, but I think it's a worthy debate and discussion because I think that he is that elite. And what he said about Draymond, I appreciate him saying that. I don't think it's entirely true when he said, you know, me and Steph are nice guys. Maybe that's Steph. Klay, you know, Klay, and I say this complimentary. Klay know how to get at you now. You know what I'm saying? He ain't the guy that just doesn't say anything. When you are clownish, Klay will let you know. When you somebody that's out of pocket on the opposition, Klay will let you know. Just watch some of his press conferences. But these brothers are elite, and I get what they're bringing to the table, and I sort of see what's happening here in terms of him saying what he said about Draymond. I appreciate it. I think he's right about that. They are not the same team without Draymond Green. Make no mistake about it. But I also think, Shannon, Legs, it's an indication that the end is near, and they know it. Now, you know me, and, you know, this is what I do for a living. So, Shannon, it's no secret that I know quite a few owners in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And quite a few executives in the league. I ain't guessing. I'm telling you right now that regardless of you know, the fact that they're going to make the play-in, you ain't spending that money if you Joe Lacob and Peter Guber and stuff like that to be in the play-in. You know, if you could spend less money and make the play-in. And so when you look at the Golden State Warriors and the fact that you have been battling through the play-in last year, you get to the semifinals and stuff like that, you do get to a point where it's like, would you love to keep these guys together? Sure. But will the money work?
Right.
That's the question mark. Steph Curry ain't going nowhere. I don't give a damn how much money he wanted or whatever. He got 3 years left, 51 this year, 55 next year, 59 the year after that. And damn it, if he wanted another contract extension, you could give him right now to pay him $100 million. They would do it, okay? And they should. He's Steph Curry. Dre is locked up. You've got him for 4 years, 3 years after this one, okay? And he's locked in at that $100 million deal. Klay is the wild card. because Clay may want to stay in Golden State, but in the same breath, he's going to need to, he's going to feel the need to be appreciated. And if the money isn't right, which it's entirely plausible that that may be the case, then they may have to move in a different direction. And so I got that from listening to them yesterday a little bit and hearing what Clay was saying and why. It's almost like you reminisce, and you guys would know this better than me, football, basketball, both of you professionals. You know when a guy speak in a certain kind of way like that, it's like paying homage to each other and what you've accomplished. You do that when you feel that the end is near.
Yeah, I think, listen, I think, first of all, I love what you said, Stephen A., about loving Klay Thompson. I couldn't adequately put into words how much I admire and respect Klay Thompson.
Same here.
On and off the court, the way he conducts himself and has throughout his career. Look, Draymond, open the door. Klay, say whatever you want. Be as honest as you want to be. And I think Klay Thompson, he handled that the right way, about a guy that has helped them win, has been next to him through a lot of battles. You can't tell me in the moment that some of these things have happened, and that's what Klay Thompson was thinking. Because he's not. And Steph Curry's body language said it all in the Orlando ejection. When they're fighting for their lives to hold on to a play-in spot, Houston on their heels, and he gets ejected from that game. So, look, Klay handled that, I think, politically correct with a teammate while giving him credit for all the winning. I think he held back a little bit on what they really feel. Here's the thing with Golden State. Look, this is going to be, I think, a very difficult road. They're going to probably have to win two single elimination road games in the play-in. That's most likely what they're looking at, especially if they lose the game to the Lakers tonight. I don't see them escaping that. I think they're going to have a difficult time even making it out of the play-in into a first-round series, and if they do that, I don't think they can escape that. So it's easy for us to say, well, then what happens? Is this it for them? Let's blow it up. Let's start moving people. Let's not re-sign Klay. Let's get rid of Draymond. That's easy to say it. It's a lot more difficult to actually see what that looks like with two teams coming together to try to replenish for the Golden State Warriors something to stay competitive around Steph Curry while getting rid of those players. So it's easy to say it. You got to give me, not hypotheticals, you got to give me a concrete solution to what that would look like for the Warriors in terms of breaking up this core in the summer. But there's no question in my mind, Stephen A., I don't know if you agree, Shannon, I don't think we're going to see this core group contend again. They're not going to make a legitimate run at the Western Conference or at an NBA championship. They're just not. They can be competitive. They can be a play-in. Maybe they make a playoff series. This isn't a team anymore that can do it as currently constructed.
I agree with you, Legs. I agree with a lot of what you said, Stephen A. Also, I believe two things can be true. I believe that they would not have been a four-time NBA champ without Draymond Green. I also believe that Draymond Green has allowed his emotions to get the best of him in certain situations. They could have easily been a five-time champion. I mean, many people believe had he not gotten suspended game four, they would have won the series in five against the Cavaliers.
Right.
So for in that situation, and it's time. See, I'm a firm. This is what I look at, guys. I'm a firm believer. The greatest apology is change behavior. You can't tell me you're sorry and continuously do the same things over and over. Now, Draymond Green says, I know I let my brothers down, and I promise you I will not put myself in that situation again. And what has he done since game four suspension is continuously over and over allow his emotions to get the best of him and get thrown out of ball games. And then he has to come back and say, guys, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen again. And thanks to Steph Curry, a lot of time, his heroics, he's able to bail them out. How many times must you say I'm sorry and not change the behavior before I believe that this is who you are and this is what you're going to continuously do? I also agree with what you said at the end, Legs. I don't believe this team is not in contention because of injuries. They're just not good enough anymore. So what are you going to do? Are you willing to trade? Are you willing to say, okay, what can you do, Wigger? Because I believe Kuminga and I believe Steph Curry should be untouchable. Now, Draymond is like you said, Stephen A., he has 3 years left on his deal. But what are you going to do? Moody? What pieces can you – Moody and Wiggins, what can you get to go along with Kuminga and Steph and potentially Draymond to make you serious contenders? Because as constructed currently and going to be a year older next year, I don't believe they complete next year. I don't believe they're not in contention because of injuries.
I got to tell y'all this. I mean, I don't know if the lightning might strike me down or something. First of all, I'm not – I believe what you're both saying in terms of their future is presently constructed. I still think they got a chance this year. Now, let me tell you this. I think you have a chance when you can shoot the basketball from the perimeter and when you can hit free throws. When you can do those two things, you're in any game because sometimes teams will beat themselves. And anytime you can shoot, you can put the ball in the hole, you got a chance. So I look at Golden State Warriors this season, not beyond the season, but this season, and I say they have a chance. The one thing that I will say and that continues to boggle my mind, when they won those championships, you had Andrew Bogut. And a Zsa Zsa Pachulia, people like that, size, where you weren't relying on Draymond to be the five. When I think about who the champions are, which is Jokic, okay, how in God's name you're the Warriors and you want to compete and you don't have a sizable opponent just to throw a body around? That's why I bring up guys like the DeMarcus Cousins of the world and various others who could potentially be out there. Just a big body to throw in there and sort of and somewhat clog the middle in some kind of physical capacity so you don't ask Draymond with his undersized self against these bigger guys to go up against them. I don't know why the Golden State Warriors has never addressed something like that. But in the end, this season, if Klay, and again, the Golden State Warriors shouldn't be the favorite, but what if Klay got hot and Kuminga and Przemyski are hitting jumpers too? Because we know what Steph's going to do. Think about that for a second and then say, are you sure they can't knock somebody off? I think they can, guys.
Stephen A., I think the thing is that when they won those titles and they went to that depth lineup, very few teams had something to counter that. Now, hell, everybody goes to a small lineup late in the ball game. Don't nobody have their big Alessi, Joel Embiid, or Nikola Jokic out there. Everybody
the
goes to that small.
And Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis. Don't forget Anthony Davis.
Right. So you got Anthony Davis, who's really a stretch, that's playing the five. Are you disappointed that Anthony Davis is your five and he has to go up against Draymond? Are you really disappointed in that? So now you get LeBron, you get D'Lo, you get Rui, and you get guys like that. You look at Ant-Man. Now, probably you'll take Rudy Gobert out and you go with Naz Reid and Cat. So, but you got lineups now. A lot more teams have lineups to counter the depth lineup that Golden State made famous.
100% right. And look, here's the other thing. Just go back to a year ago. I don't think I've ever seen a team look more swallowed up physically than the Warriors were in that series with the Lakers. They looked small. They looked feeble. They were thrown around. They couldn't get separation on the perimeter because the length of the Lakers jumping out, they completely took Klay Thompson out of the series. And that's hard for me to get out of my mind. And now you just fast forward a year, the Warriors are more inconsistent offensively than they've ever been. To your point, you're 100% right. Like, on a given night, can Klay Thompson be that difference maker, get that hot?
Right.
That it puts, the problem is you can't really make a logical argument that you know what you're going to get from Klay Thompson, and that's the problem.
And let me throw this out there, Biggs. Like, I mentioned DeMarcus Cousins. Yep. I didn't mention Andre Drummond. I thought Oklahoma City, for example, should have went out and got an Andre Drummond. You know, somebody that's just going to grab you 15, 20
that's
rebounds.
That's their weakness.
That's their weakness. I'm looking at some of these executives, and I'm wondering, what the hell are you thinking? Because you look at the pieces around these other teams. I'm looking at a Golden State. I'm looking at an Oklahoma City and stuff like that. And just ask yourself, if they got size, if they got somebody that can get an offensive rebound and give you an additional opportunity at a shot, you're trying to tell me that can't help you? And somehow, some way, you see these decisions being made by some of these teams. Well, maybe, you know, this player might be a problem for this coach or whatever. I'm like, get the hell over it. I'm trying to win. The more I advance, the more money I collect. Excuse me, if I'm an owner, I'm thinking about stuff like that. These guys got to answer these kind of questions because there's some big boys out there, and I mentioned two of them, who can make a contribution to an NBA team, and why they ain't in the NBA, you know, especially DeMarcus Cousins. Why you ain't on the roster right now don't make no sense to me. It don't make no sense to me. It really doesn't.
Stephen A., one of the handful of games that I went to this year was the Lakers and Golden State. And guess what? Klay Thompson looked like the old Klay Thompson because he had 17 in like the first quarter. He ended up having 21 at the half, and he and Steph got hot and shot the Lakers out of the building. Even after LeBron had a virtuoso, had a 40-point game, was sensational, they wasn't able to overcome that hot shooting by Klay Thompson. But you're right. But what we haven't seen from Klay is that level of consistency, Stephen A., over the last several years since he's come off that injury. Could he do it? You're asking him. So basically, he's going to need to be that type of way. You got to win 16 games in the playoffs. Do you believe he could? In your 30 years of coming to basketball, coming to game of basketball, do you believe the Steph Curry that you know can rear his head and do that over the course of an NBA title run?
I think Steph Curry needs help.
And I think
with the pieces that they have, if Klay gives you a couple of big games, if Podziemski gives you a couple of good games from the
Kuminga,
Andrew Wiggins, those four guys, if two of them can give you accuracy from the perimeter, I think Golden State can beat practically anybody but Denver in the postseason.
We're talking about their ceiling. And
right.
The problem is that they rarely have hit it.
I agree.
And it's, by the way, I want to be clear. We're not just laying this at the feet of Klay Thompson's inconsistency. No. Wiggins has been inconsistent.
Oh, Wiggins,
Chris
yeah.
Paul's been inconsistent.
Right. Yeah.
Kuminga has been pretty solid here for a few months now. I think I know what to expect out of Kuminga now most nights. But it's not just Klay. It's the fact that they so rarely hit their ceiling collectively. And we'd have to talk about replicating that night after night. First of all, it's just two playing games, most likely. On the road, most likely. I think that, to me, is a reach to think that we're going to see that. Look, nobody wants to see this team advance more than I do because I love watching Steph Curry play basketball. Give me more Steph Curry. That's what I want. I'm just being realistic about what I've seen all year.
I sure hope it's not over, though, because that's an end of an era, the three of them. They've been so fun to watch.
Well, if Klay is willing to accept a lot less, which I don't think he would nor should, then it's a different discussion. But the fact is that you can't pay him with some of them young bloods on the come up. They're going to be looking to get paid themselves. And, you know, Klay is no longer the same $43 million player that he once was, even though I think Klay Thompson could be a vital piece for a whole bunch of teams in the NBA.
Definitely.
Hey, Stephen A., Molly just said for you, this for me, Stephen A. and Leg. You know, sometimes your old lady look better to a new set of eyes, so maybe Klay Thompson going to look better somewhere else than he would in Golden State.
Yeah.
Do you have to use the term old lady, though?
Like, there you go, Molly.
You couldn't just be like, my girl, my ex, it's an old lady. Ball and chain.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Yep, that happened. UConn and South Carolina both completed impressive runs with national championships. But which team was more dominant this season? So UConn beat all of its opponents in the tournament by at least 14 points. But South Carolina, they finished the season undefeated. Shannon, obviously this is a tough question, right? They both had impressive runs. So I know it's a tough one to answer, but which run would you say was more dominant? Is it Dawn Staley in South Carolina or Dan Hurley in UConn?
Yeah, Amali, Stephen A., we're splitting hairs here because anytime you win a national championship, it's hard to say. And it's like, which is heavier, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers when they actually both wear a ton? They both won the national championship. But I'm going to say South Carolina because they was on the cusp last year. And the team that knocked them off, they got that team back with a red hot Caitlin Clark, led the nation in scoring, led the nation in assists, the two-time player of the year. I mean, we know all the records. Most assists and most points ever scored, so forth and so on. And they were up against it. And to go 38-0 after they think about it, the five starters go to the WNBA. I think they had a sixth also that came off the bench and goes to the WNBA. They bring back a younger group and finish the task that they were unable to finish last year. It was an unbelievable run. I think this was the most impressive because this is a young team. And the way Don was able to guide these young ladies throughout the tournament, really only challenged once. It took Cardoso to hit that shot against Tennessee in the SEC tournament, a three-pointer, probably the only three she's ever attempted, and she made it. So I'm going to say the University of South Carolina Lady Gamecocks.
Listen, I can't really disagree with you, but I just got to give props to UConn and what we saw from them. 37-3. They did suffer a blowout loss against, I think it was Seton Hall earlier this year, if I remember correctly. I know they lost to Kansas. They lost to Seton Hall by 15, just looking at this right now. And then, of course, they lost. It was Creighton. That's who they got blown out by Creighton. But I'm looking at them, and they're dominance during the NCAA tournament, being the reigning defending and national champions, getting everybody's A game, and still showing up, having lost the five players that they lost, losing the personnel that they lost, coming back again, going 37-3, defending their crown and doing it in the myriad of ways that they did it. And in such convincing, lopsided fashion. When I look at South Carolina, they lucked up in the conference tournament against Tennessee with that last shot. No doubt about that. We can't forget that. Obviously, Indiana gave them a run for their money in the NCAA tournament. LSU gave them a game in the conference championship game as well. It's not to take anything away from them. They won. They're unblemished. They're undefeated. Dawn Staley's phenomenal. All of that's true. But when I look at UConn and I'm thinking about what you got, which was everybody's A game because you're the reigning defending national champions and you lost all the personnel that you lost and you had to incorporate so many new bodies and you still went out there. And when it was time at the most, you answered the call in very, very convincing fashion. I got to give UConn some love in that regard and say to some degree their year seemed a bit more dominant because of how it ended.
I think the thing is, when you look at the Indiana game, Stephen A., they were up by 22, and then they took their foot off the gas because they were blowing Indiana out. And then all of a sudden, they get careless. You know, they start showboating, and it happens from time to time. That's what young kids do. They start, looking at the crowd and throwing their hands up and trying things, and the next thing you know.
Young kids, I see it in the NFL all the time.
Yeah, I know.
All the time.
You see it in the NBA.
And stuff like that. That's right. And the NBA, yeah, but especially the NFL.
Remember what we just saw? What was that? Was it Sunday? That the Clippers came back from 26 against Cleveland.
That's right.
Yep. So we see that teams have these big leads. They're dancing and doing their thing, and the next thing you know, they find themselves on the losing end. But you look at South Carolina. They beat Iowa by double digits. They beat UConn by double digits. They beat LSU twice. They beat a red hot NC State team. The teams that they beat and in the fashion in which they were beating them, Stephen A., man, and there's something to be said about 38-0, the 10th ladies team to go undefeated in a season, and considering what they lost, Aaliyah Boston, the number one overall draft pick, like I said, they had five or six young ladies that went to the WNBA, and to bring back basically an entirely different team, and Raven Johnson had those demons. Stephen A., Caitlin Clark is 10 feet away. Say, you're the last thing on my mind.
Exactly.
And she say, you know what? I might not shoot it. I might not score but 2 or 3 points this year, but I'm going to make sure you don't have the type of game that you had last year.
That's true. And that's exactly what she did. Major props to her. I can't argue with you about that. Those are very valid points, but we saw what we saw from UConn as well. And we saw how dominant they were. And we saw, and Hurley has established himself as the best coach in college basketball. The UConn program has established themselves as the elite of the Blue Bloods in existence because of their 25-year run, what they've been doing since 1999. Nobody compares. So we got to take all of those things into consideration as well in them closing the deal. Coming off a national championship with those losses, with everybody gunning for them, and they still answered the call in a different, albeit a different way. They still got it done.
Yeah, returning just two starters, losing five guys to the draft. Yep.
South Carolina now is when you think of preeminent women's college programs, the Tennessees, the UConns. Now you got to think of the Lady Gamecocks.
You got to put them in question.
Just like, I don't know why, but when you think about it, Stephen A., UConn is really never men's, has never received the love and the adulation like a Carolina, like a Duke.
That's true. That's fair.
And like a Kentucky. And I don't know why, because it's not like the NBA ain't littered with UConn guys.
Well, I think I can answer that. I think Mike Krzyzewski being at Duke played a role. I think Roy Williams playing at North Carolina played a role. Coach Smith before that, obviously. And so, but also,
Calhoun,
even though Calhoun
was well known as well.
Calhoun was very well known, but there were so many changes that took place within the Big East that took away some of the allure as well.
You're right.
So we can't ignore that. I'm telling you right now, the Big East in the 80s and stuff.
Syracuse,
stuff like that. It was just a different animal. And when that was compromised, no fault of Calhoun and UConn, I think that sort of took a little bit away from it personally.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. The Houston Texans took an already impressive offense and added one of the best wide receivers in football as Stephen A. declared the Texans might be the best team in the great state of Texas now for the first time stealing the Dallas Cowboys' shine. Okay, Club Shay Shay, tell me this. Where does Houston rank in the AFC with Diggs now joining C.J. Stroud?
Well, I think they're clearly behind Kansas City and Baltimore, in my estimation. The uncertainty with Houston leaves me. I would say probably fourth or fifth. I'm not so sure I'm putting them in front of Miami. I'm not. Because here's the thing, Stephen A., if you take Miami and bring them to Houston, you know you're putting them in a controlled environment, right?
Yes.
Yes. And you know what happens when you put okay. So I'm gonna say I think they're behind Buffalo. I still believe in Josh Allen. Let's see what they do in the draft.
Come on,
I would say fourth or fifth.
Come on, Shannon.
Come,
Shannon, come on. Josh Allen, you lost Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs.
Right.
And Stephon Diggs. And they're going to have some changeover on the defensive side of the ball because of injuries and stuff as well. Come on, Shannon. You can't put Buffalo above Houston. Not right now.
But if Josh Allen is what many believe him to be. I think he's been good. In big moments, he hasn't been what he needs to be. See, I know what you're saying. Look, I love Nico Collins. I love Tank Dell. I love C.J. Stroud and what he was able to do. I love that. But let's
And by the way, remember they got Mixon now.
Yes, but a lot of teams have had a good one season. Let's see if they can replicate that. Let's see if they can put – because guess what? Guess what we got now before them, Stephen A.?
Okay.
Something that you didn't have for him last year. Expectation.
Stop it. Let me tell you why. Let me get on you about this. I can't believe you're saying this stuff. This stuff is blasphemous right now. How is this coming out your mouth? Because here's why, Shannon. Here's why. I get Baltimore, Kansas City. Kansas City reigning defending champions. We all know the two-time defenders. We know what they bring to the table, okay? You look at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson got to the AFC Championship game. We know what this brother can bring, all right? And obviously, Monken being there as your offensive coordinator, the stability that Harbaugh brings, their defense, a bunch of rough riders, we get that part, right? Miami and Buffalo have given us no reason to be sold on them. With the personnel they had in place, they couldn't get over the hump in Buffalo. Miami, don't get me started once you get them away from near South Beach, or as you would say, a controlled environment. A controlled environment on South Beach. Okay, so if you talk about head-to-head matchup, you know, you got the cheater in Houston. I understand that. I ain't no answer for that, brother. I do understand that. But I'm saying you got to play against a whole bunch of other people. And what has Miami given us to believe? Believe in them when they get away from a controlled environment or, dare I say, elite weather near South Beach. I'm sorry. So, I got Houston at three. I got Houston number three.
I would probably put, like I said, if you put them at four or five, if you put them at four, I'm not disappointed. I still believe, because here's the thing, Stephen A., you telling me you have the level of expectations last year for the Texans that you have for them this year?
No, definitely more this year. But that's because I believe in C.J. Stroud. Like you said, you believe in Josh Allen.
Right. So now you didn't have expectations. They surprised you. Guess what happens when someone does something and now you have those expectations? You expect more from said person.
Okay.
So I expect more. And so, hey, here's why I got Josh Allen. I mean, can he disappoint me by
I'm saying is this. Listen, Miami and Buffalo got expectations.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right.
But okay. I think Houston has more expectations than both of those teams now.
I just think they'll be better than both of them.
With the addition of Stephon Diggs.
I think they'll be better than both of them.